Ladies and gentlemen, can you hear me okay?
Yes, good.
Can you hear me back there? I'd like to welcome...
I don't know if the mic is on, but I can hear you.
The mic's on.
How's that? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to welcome everybody to the City of Reedy Council, the City Council and Special Meeting held in joint session with the Kings County Unified School District Board of Trustees on Tuesday, October 27, 2015. And at this time, I would like to call the joint meeting to order. The invocation tonight will be by Mike Schellenberg of Reedy Mennonite Brethren Church and the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilman Fast.
I first of all want to thank you all for having me here, and I just think it's a very special thing for a city to open up with a word of prayer and acknowledging God. So I just thank you for the opportunity and appreciate you, and I appreciate the two groups of you guys coming together today. I think that's fantastic, and keep up the good work. So with that, let me open up in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and that you rose again, Lord. And I want to say it again, that I thank you for the city of Reedy and for the Kings Canyon School District and for what they mean to our community and all the great things that they do. And many things go unnoticed. But God, you know, and you see what happens. And we appreciate you for knowing those things. And I just pray that you'd be in this meeting today, that there would be unity, that there would be godly wisdom in this meeting. And that you would get accomplished what you want to be accomplished. Because we know that if it's your will, that it will be done. And it will also help the community, the city, the school districts, and everyone else, Lord. So we thank you for this leadership here. Give them wisdom tonight. Lord, we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please join us in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This time, what we're going to be doing is I'm going to turn over to the Kings Canyon Board to introduce themselves, and we can start on this side and go around and let you introduce yourself.
I'm Connie Brooks.
Emmanuel Ferreira.
Noel Remick, Reedy.
Robin Tyler, Area 4.
I'm Sarah Rolla, Board President.
Clotilda Mora, Board Clerk.
I'm Floyd Smith.
And at this time, I'd like to have the council introduce themselves.
I'm Robert Beck, District 3.
Mary Fast, District 2.
Ray Salino, Mayor.
Oh, Anita Betancourt, District 5.
And Rick Rodriguez is our fifth council member. He is ill tonight and will not be attending the meeting.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to, in introductions, turn it over to the Kings Canyon Superintendent, and then the city manager for introduction of staff.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to introduce our staff that's here this evening. And when I call your name, would you please stand so I can put a name with a face together? Deputy Superintendent John Campbell. Assistant Superintendent John Quito. Assistant Superintendent Monica Benner. District Administrators Marianne Caruso and Sheila Weeby, and the people that do all the hard work on a daily basis, the high school principal, Roberto Gutierrez from Reedy High, and Mr. Angel Durazo from Orangeville High School. We also have our public relations consultant, Eric Valencia, with us this evening. Thank you and welcome to all.
Thank you, folks. City manager.
Let's see if I can pick this up here. Stand just so I can see everybody who's in the back. Let me start around the table. I do have with us Ellen, who is our assistant planner. She's going to be serving in Sylvia Plata's role tonight as our city clerk. So looking out in the audience, we have our police chief, Joe Garza, police lieutenant, Mark Ettinger. I never know whether to call him Sylvester or Isaac Martinez, but our school resource officer, whom you all may know, please stand up for a minute. Thank you very much. We have our planning commissioner, Pete Perez. Thank you. And then on the back table, we have our newest addition, Tiffany Kudo, an accountant with our administrative services department. Paul Malikian, administrative services director. Joel Glick, community services director. Russ Robertson, public works director. Jerry Isaac, fire chief. Kevin Fabino, community development director. John Robertson, our city engineer, and Scott Cross, our city attorney. And I would also like to take a moment to introduce Hillary Baird, who is with the League of California Cities, and she is with us here tonight as well.
Thank you very much. Going into public comments, provide an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council and the Kings Canyon Board on items of interest to the public within the Council and the Kings Canyon Board jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It's a policy of the Council and Kings Canyon Board not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager and the Kings Canyon Superintendent. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Council and the King County Board as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, we're going to communication items. There's seven of them, and number one is transportation facility, and it's Assistant Superintendent Dr. John Pinto and City Engineer John Robertson to make the presentation.
Well, good evening, President Rola, Board of Trustees, Superintendent Garza, Mayor Solano, City Council, and City Manager Nicolzi. It's an honor to stand before you to give you an update with the CBT project. It has been a good challenge for both the City of Reedland's team and us to get this vision to fruition. So we're here to give you an update on that, where we're at. So that actually the project was done in two phases in terms of bidding and seeing it come to fruition. And so to my left, your right, is a couple of the renditions that you should expect to see. So on the right, that's the Transportation Administration Office. The foundation is currently laid. They're starting to actually bring up the building itself. So that's how the building is. On the parking lot, they've already started with the elevations, working closely with the City of Reedley on making sure our Rails for Trails is, that project buttoned up together, and we partner well with that. We're scheduled to complete the phase two portion of that by August 1st. And what I'd like to do is turn this over to my colleague, Mr. Robertson, to speak about their portion of it.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you, everybody. And I'll just say hello, everybody. They're trying to announce everybody. I wanted to give you just a brief update on some of the items that we are working on in conjunction with the school district. The city is putting in the infrastructure from the roadway to the site. And what we basically put in so far is we put in the water line, the sewer line, and other things. We brought some from Olson Avenue onto the site, some from Huntsman up to the site to provide services to the site. The contractor for Kings Canyon Unified will come in and tie into those services at a future date, which is actually coming pretty quickly. We'll also be putting in the entryway on Apple Avenue, but that will be at a later date. That will happen more towards closer to the end of construction when we finish out the roadway and start providing services. The one thing that we were also doing is this, I should step back. The other part that the city is responsible for is the funding for the actual compressed natural gas facilities. We have gone out to bid. We have opened up bids. We had some good bids that came in. Low bid was lower than the engineer's estimate by a couple hundred thousand dollars. We were in the process of reviewing the bids, and we'll be taking it to city council for award probably either 1st of November or 1st of December. It just depends on when we get contracts and everything's back from the consultant. I'm sorry, the contractor. So that should be happening. Once they're on board, they will order all the equipment. It will take, I want to say, 4 to 6 months to get all the equipment in, and then our contractor will come in and install all the compressed natural gas facilities and tie into the things that the Kings Canyon Unified School District contractors do. And so that should be happening about the same time when we're finishing up, by August, where all those facilities will then be in. The other thing that I wanted to bring to your attention, and if you could flip it around.
Oh.
I know that's going to be very hard to see.
Oh, yeah, right.
what this is the Reedy Parkway Phase 5 project. What we are installing is a Class 1 bike path, multi-use path, along Huntsman Avenue. It actually connects to the Reedy Parkway on Button Willow, crosses Button Willow, comes along the south side of Huntsman, over to the Traver Creek, up the Traver Creek, and ties into with the trail over to the existing facilities. In the future, when the sports park's developed, that little section will go away and there'll be a more formal connection to the park, the sports park itself. Mm-hmm. It will be a 8 foot wide bike path paved. On Huntsman, it will be going in between the trees that are planted out there and the future fence that is being put up by Kings Canyon Unified School District contractor. And then it will come in between the two trees, a row of the trees that are planted currently along Traver Creek. We are going to be awarding that tonight, hopefully. And we expect the contractor to get out there and start sometime in November to start that work. We've been moving along really well in doing these facilities that are going to also enhance this area. And working well with Dr. Quinto. He's not giving me a hard time. We're moving forward. So that's just my update for the city's what the city's been doing so far.
Okay. Gentlemen, if I could just hold on for a second. What I'm going to do is allow every presentation that comes up, I will allow the Kings Canyon Board and the Council to see if there's any questions they would like to ask, and also the public. So at this time, from the Kings Canyon Board, is there any questions of Mr. Quinto and Mr. Robinson?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
On the walkway that we're planning here, how long is that going to be? For the full walkway?
It's approximately 1,500 feet, going from Button Willow all the way along Huntsman, up the Traver Creek, and then into the site, the sports park site.
Does that Rails to Trails continue going east?
It currently stops at Traver Creek, so we'll go to Huntsman to Traver and then goes up north.
Okay.
In the future, there could be some planned connections, but right now that's outside the sphere of influence of the city.
Did I hear you say it was $200,000 below bid, something, or did I miss a misunderstanding?
Yeah, the compressed natural gas portion was approximately 200,000 below the engineer's estimate.
That's pretty good.
What was the final estimate?
Final estimate was about $1.5 million, so we got in at about $1.3 million. We have to go through the awarding process and making sure they've done everything they were supposed to.
I'd like to add to that. We had bid this out about a year ago. And with the team we had then, the CMAC grant's about $1 million. The way it was designed, we left a lot of money on the table. And so we got back together, and I think there's something I need to shout out to the city of Reedley. Is we got back together, re-looked at this, and put it back out to bid and instructed our new architect, make sure we take full advantage of our CMAC grant. So with some of the help and support of the City of Reedley and their team, we took full advantage of the CMAC grant. So actually the bids at that time came in over $2 million, I believe.
Oh, that's correct.
So actually with the great work the City of Reedley did and helping us get through that, they've actually saved us over $1 million from the previous.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Any other school board question?
I have a question.
Can I go to the council?
Pardon?
No problem.
We'll let you stay on the school board, so.
The route along, I'm always interested in the bike trail because we like to bike and we like to go to the sports park, actually. So the part that's going along that's doing this down there along the street, is that going to be on the, let's see, that'd be the north side of the street? So on the street, on the, in front of the transportation yard, correct?
Correct. On the north side.
And then that'll go all the way up. Where's the end point? When you hit the sports park? I can't quite tell.
At this time, this is where the sports park currently starts. It's right here at where the Traver Creek starts to diverge kind of to the northeast.
Okay.
This is drawn a little bit in area. Actually, for now, the trail's going to continue on into the park, not adjacent to the trail, or not adjacent to the creek, excuse me.
But over to like the playground.
Over to tie into the playground this time with the decomposed granite type surface that will then become a more permanent surface when this fully develops out.
Great, thank you.
Any other council questions? John, let me ask a question. On that creek, I know years ago we talked about with the city of Dynevor extending that to the south along that creek that would connect with Dynevor and the city of Greenway. Has there been any more communication between those?
I haven't had any direct communication with Dynevor regarding that. I have heard that. That might be a possibility, and I think it can be easily accomplished with coordination with the AID and City of Dynevor. Okay. So I do think that could be something that could be kept on. It works really well having those types of facilities next to creeks and those things.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, thank you, gentlemen. Great presentation. Item number two is Historic Justice Progress and Community Juvenile Crime Stats. Presentation of the Helen Putman Award of Excellence by the League of California Cities. Chief Garza.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the school board. Let me introduce Helen Baer from the California League of Cities. She's here to do the presentation.
Thank you.
Hillary.
That's okay.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I wanted to talk a little bit about what this award means. First of all, it's named after Helen Putnam, who was a longtime, passionate, and dedicated elected official, both as a mayor and as a county supervisor. And in addition to being a mayor and a county supervisor, she was a mother and a school teacher and a principal. But most of all, she was a person who viewed meeting one's potential as the measure of success. Excellence to Helen Putnam was shown by someone who did his or her very best. She was as supportive and loving of people who did their best as she was of people who did the best. And to the League of California Cities, Helen Putnam defined excellence as an elected official. And so in 1982, the League created the Helen Putnam Award for Excellence. And it's a program that recognizes outstanding and remarkable achievements by California's 482 cities. Cities that win the award have made unique contributions to community residents and businesses that have resulted in making their communities a better place to live. The purpose of the award is to recognize and promote these outstanding efforts and innovative solutions by city governments to improve the quality of life in their community, implement efficiencies in service delivery and operation, and provide services responsive to local community. And there are 12 categories that we make these awards, and Reedley has won in the public safety category for their Reedley Peace Building Initiative. And so I think, did you want to talk about the initiative? I have a brief summary, but I don't have nearly as much information as the chief does. But this is a big award, and we recognized the city of Reedley at our annual conference in front of thousands of people. And it's a big deal to be recognized and held up as an example of what cities can do. And I take great pride in the fact that Reedley, you know, not LA, not San Francisco, not Walnut Creek or Beverly Hills, But Reedley is an example to the other cities in the state of California on how you can make a difference in public safety. And so I'm really pleased to present to the chief the Helen Putnam Award of Excellence in Public Safety.
While they're taking the picture, the reason we wanted to have the league present this at the joint meeting is, as you know, board members and city council members, this is not a city program. This is a joint school-city program. And so for us, this was an opportunity to have the league represent both the school board and the city. And what Hillary mentioned, this is one of the biggest, best awards a city can get the entire year. We stand out above our peers. And so I hope you know that Kings Canyon Unified School District was called out to 482 other cities as being an integral partner with us in the Reedley Peace Building Initiative.
Absolutely. And on behalf of the police department, obviously this award is a direct result of a collaboration with everybody. So, you know, on behalf of the police department, I do accept it, Hillary. Thank you very much. And on behalf of the city and the school district, thank you. But what I wanted to do this evening also, Mr. Mayor, members of the school board, members of city council, is to kind of give everybody a kind of a brief snapshot of our where we're at crime currently, and kind of talk a little bit about our efforts that we've been having with our restorative justice program. So this will just give you a snapshot. It's not going to be an all-encompassing report on crime statistics or everything that's happened in the city, but it will just highlight some individual areas. First and foremost, I want to thank the men and the women of the police department, because it's with their professionalism and dedication they've demonstrated throughout 2015 that I am proud to present what I am going to present today. This year has been very busy, as you will see in one of the slides, and it's also been very challenging and demanding for our police department. But through it all, the employees have worked through all the adversity, improving, although slowly, economy. The passage of Prop 47, and the constant staffing shortages, all which have an impact on our community. However, in spite of all of that, this police department will continue to strive to provide excellence in service through positive and proactive community involvement. And as a team, the community, the city, the school district, faith-based organizations, and the police department, I'm sure, will continue to strive for and accomplish positive, healthy, and safe environment for our future and for that of our children, who are our greatest resource here in the Valley. And give them a safe environment to live in, to work in, and also to go to school in. Because together we are going to make a difference. So I do want to thank and call out everybody for that. Most police departments do have a mission statement, and if you look at this mission statement that the police department, Reedley Police Department, has, I've highlighted certain areas that I think that you'll find as I speak today that we are hitting all these keys, because this is what guides our department. It's promoting a safe and secure environment. We're responsive to the concerns of the community, improving the quality of life, working together in a problem-solving partnership. That's what this police department bases its values on, and this is what we strive to meet. So here's just some facts, just to kind of get everybody up to speed. In 2014, we had a population of just a little bit over 25,000. But our annual dispatch calls for service per officers has increased significantly from 2014 to 2015. You can see that, again, that's why I said that we've been extremely busy. As we've jumped from 896 to 1,068 calls for service per officer so far this year. Our crime statistics for year-to-date 2015, we've had a decrease in our violent crimes from 260 to 228, but again, this is just until the end of September, so this is still lacking this last quarter of reporting, but we've had a significant drop so far, so as long as we continue on the trend that we are, we should come out lower than what we did last year. Our property crimes currently is a little higher, and we'll talk a little bit about those as well, but we do have an increase, but our crime rates per thousand is pretty steady. Last year we were at 22.54 overall for the year, and currently we're sitting at 22.36 crimes per thousand. So that really indicates that out of every 1,000 residents, 22 people could be expected to be victims of crime, either a violent crime or a property crime. So let's just talk about the arrests a little bit. So why the reduction? As you can see, that there's a reduction in juvenile arrests and arrests overall. Well, part of that reduction is attributed to Prop 47. Unfortunately, Prop 47, when it was enacted last year, did really create a quagmire for law enforcement throughout the state of California. It reduced the amount of folks that were reduced the charges or the sentencing of certain crimes. Certain felonies were reduced to misdemeanors. And it really impacted a lot of what we do and what we can do in order to keep this community safe. But you can see that there is a reduction in juvenile arrests. Some may say that because of the juvenile justice system, that there's a decrease of the juvenile arrests, and that we turn a blind eye to those who commit crimes, or those crimes that are committed by juveniles. But it's on the contrary, that we are not turning the blind eye to crime, but instead are looking at ways to deal with the situation, such as intervention, since the traditional methods have not worked. So this is the way that we are dealing with it. Currently, we are in our fourth year of the Restorative Justice Program in partnership with the Kings County Unified School District, which has become quite successful, and as we will indicate in a later slide. The support of the Reedy Boys and Girls Club has proven to be a benefit to our community, as that as well reduces the amount of crimes, because what we are doing is we're giving those idle hands something to do. They're just not sitting at home wondering, what am I going to do, what am I going to do? But we've provided, the after-school programs that the school district provides also gives those kids something to do. And that really is a deterrent for a lot of these kids to get in trouble. And as long as we keep those kids busy with positive programs, they will not look towards gangs as a solution to their boredom or as an alternative. So it's something that we need to continue, Boys and Girls, support of the Boys and Girls Club, and also the support of after-school programs, because that is going to be key. So let's talk a little bit about our restorative justice. Today we were honored with the Helen Putnam Award for Excellence in Police or in Public Service, which was obviously identified, or we were recognized by the California League of Cities. I don't want to pat ourselves on the back, but I will, because I always like to toot our horn if we have an opportunity. But this makes the third award in 2 years that we have received for our restorative justice program. The first one that we received was in 2014, by the James Q. Wilson Award, which was for excellence in community-oriented policing. And again, and that was as a result of collaboration between the city, the police department, the school district, Reedy High School, and everybody involved in our faith-based organizations. That was a result of that. Also in 2014, we were awarded the Champions of Justice Award for our restorative justice program. And then obviously this year, 2015, we received the Award for Excellence in Public Service for the Helen Putnam. So we have been doing an excellent job, and I think we are being recognized for what we are doing. But it's one of those things that we are not going to rest on our laurels and say, pat ourselves on the back and say, great job, let's move, let's do something different. No, a lot of expectations are going to be asked of this police department and this community to continue the work that we are doing currently. So we do continue our efforts in expanding the Reedy Peacebuilding Initiative. Kings County Unified School District partnered with us to continue the restorative justice efforts at Reedy High School. And this school year, we expanded it to our middle school to Grant Junior High. And as you can see by this slide, and I know Mary Ann Caruso is going to be talking a little bit more about the suspension and expulsions, but you can see that there's a strong correlation between the juvenile arrests in the suspension expulsion rates that we're having. As the juvenile arrests have dropped, as this graph would show, you start seeing the suspension expulsion start to drop as well. So we are showing that there is a correlation between what we are doing. But it's not only the restorative justice, but it's the PBIS program that is at Reedy High School that I think is having a significant impact on what we are doing. So as long as we both continue to work together, as a school district and as a city, in collaboration, those numbers will continue to improve and we'll continue to see some benefits in our community. Because one of the things that we will not do is just maintain the status quo. That is not what we do. We do not maintain the status quo. We want to continue to improve and to find the benefits of different methods of making this program, this philosophy work. Because it is much more than just a program, it's a philosophy. And it's a philosophy that's within our community. The programs are made to end. There is usually an end to a program, not a philosophy. As long as that philosophy is within this community, we'll continue to see significant changes in our community for our youth. So what does restorative justice do? I'm sure we've all heard about restorative justice and what it is, but really, truly what it's about offering our offenders of low-level crimes an opportunity to make amends with the victim that they have victimized, and ultimately reduce the chances of recidivism. And we have shown that we have a very high, in the high 90s, percentage of juvenile offenders who have gone through the program who have not reoffended. And again, it's the work that we do in conjunction with Mary Ann, with Mark Ediger, who leads it for my department, John Swinney, who's our restorative justice coordinator, Michelle Jones, who was just recently put onto our team and works at the middle school. So this is something that we do as a team, and we are all reaping the benefits of this program. So in closing, we've managed as a police department to be very innovative with the deployment of our resources, knowing that we have limited resources. But I will tell you that in all of this, with restorative justice, we have not increased our personnel by one person. The police department has not increased the personnel by one person. We have done it with existing personnel. Lieutenant Ediger, this is a part of his collateral assignments. Rosalinda Padilla, who's our victim services advocate, she does this as part of her collateral assignments. Sergeant Todd Lowry does it as part of his collateral assignments. Officer Martinez, Detective Martinez, who's here, our juvenile detective, does it as part of his collateral duties. So we are doing this with existing personnel. And that is something that I would say that we were very proud of, because the first question that we get asked by a lot of other communities and police departments is, how many people does it take? How many people did you have to hire? I can proudly say none. The police department did not increase anybody. We did bring on John Swinney to manage the cases at Reedley High School, but he's a shared resource between the school district and the city of Reedley. But we did not increase our staff by one person. And that is something that's very important. People also mention, well, how much did it cost? How much did you have to increase your budget? I'm proud to say that we didn't increase it by much. It was not a very significant amount. So we are making a difference in our community with no additional people and no additional cost, no significant additional cost. And that is something that is very, very important. But it's a pleasure, it's a privilege for me to lead this department, because we do have a department full of folks that are innovative, that are dedicated, that have a commitment to this community, and have a commitment to you folks, and a commitment to our youth. And that is very important, and that's very hard to find. So, because what we want to do is achieve excellence, and we want to enhance the quality of life within this community. That is our goal. And so with that, I thank you for this opportunity. As you can see, that our crime rates are staying pretty steady, and this community is still considered, if not is, the safest community in the valley. And it's something that I am proud to say. But it is just not the police department's responsibility for the safety of this community. It's what this community does together that makes it a safe community. So with that, thank you very much, and I'd be available for any questions if you have.
Thank you, Chief. Council members, any questions for the City Council?
When will this be extended out to the outlying districts?
Well, that is something that's actually very interesting, because the Reedley Police Department only has jurisdiction within its own boundaries. So we can only focus on what happens here in Reedley. Other jurisdictions, the Fresno County Sheriff's Department and Orange Cove Police Department, really have to come on board and take ownership, and because those crimes that are occurring in their jurisdiction, they have responsibility over. But it is something that I know that we've discussed and we've talked about, and you know, and we're hoping that that's something that we can expand.
We've got to get them on board, in other words.
Yes, sir.
School board, any other questions, school board?
So are we still working at trying to get this into the junior high, or have we succeeded in getting the story?
Yeah, we have. Okay. It's in the junior high now, and it's been very successful. Michelle Jones has been part of the middle school's dealing with the restorative justice part of it at Grant Middle School, and it's been very successful to the point where I think they're even looking at starting a mediators club, or a club on campus that is directly related to restorative justice. And so that's something that's very unique, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that comes out.
How long has that one been going on? I apologize.
Well, since the start of school year, August.
So we've had cases at Silas Barge, T.L. Reed, Naval Lynch, at all of our schools that house anybody from sixth grade on, possibly not Riverview, but all of our other schools we have. And how long has the victims panel been, and the restorative justice or mediation club at Grandpa going on? Since Liz Beatty joined that team as the learning director. She's one of the early trained mediators for Reedley and believes in it passionately. And when she became learning director there, she went to her principal and said, can we do this? And of course, the principal said, absolutely. About a year. Perfect.
Yeah, you know, and one thing I'd really like to add about the collaboration that we're having, and I got to really call out a couple of individuals, my boss, city manager Nicole Ziba, and Mr. Juan Garza, superintendent, because if it wasn't for their support, because this philosophy only works from the top down. You have to have buy-in from the top down. It's with their encouragement, their support of what we do on both sides that makes this really very successful. And you know, it's just a great partnership that we have.
Any other questions from both boards? Seeing none. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, the young lady from Lincoln City, for this presentation tonight. We're at item number 3, Kings Canyon High School District suspensions and expulsions. Mary Ann Caruso, Administrator for Student Services.
We're kind of tag-teaming Chief Garza and me tonight. He's helping me with technology, which is a good thing. It's about the fourth one down there, Chief. Do you see it for the joint meeting? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just click me to full screen. That'd be great. Excellent. Okay. So I'm going to just go a little deeper on what you heard about the numbers. I know that Chief Garza was primarily sharing with you some data from Reedley High School, which is where we started with restorative justice. And, of course, was our area, our largest populated school. So it always runs close to 1,800, 2,000, and then actually there's a big gap, if you're not aware, to our next largest school is actually Silas Barge. Kind of runs about 660. So, it made sense to start at Reedley High. Part of what has happened in the school district, if you're not familiar, is there's been a huge change in the last 24 months-ish about how schools are funded in the state of California. And so part of that funding, the LCAP, our Local Control Accountability Plan, comes in our local control funding formulas, give us money in the form of what we used to call categorical dollars, give us those extra dollars besides our base funding to run schools, especially for second language learners, children of poverty, and foster youth. And part of what we are required to do annually is to be sure that we've written a plan that addresses, is it 8 goals? Okay, so 8 major goals in how we intend to spend that money. I know about one in particular, and that would be goal number 5, and that require, we'll talk about that a little bit. It's about school climate and culture, and you'll see how that sort of weaves together with what Chief Garza was telling you. Okay, so here's my goal 5 that I'm very familiar with, because it does talk about the social emotional culture of a school and the climate there. So not only does the legislature expect us to spend our dollars wisely to increase the brain size and the brain power of our students and be sure that they're getting the knowledge and the academics they need,
The legislature recognizes that none of that can happen if students don't feel safe where they are learning, if they don't have all of the supports in place emotionally and socially to be successful. And so I know for the people in this room, that's kind of like stating the obvious, but it's important. And part of our requirement is to report to our board annually how we have done with that job and how we're spending the money, because we are getting money to do things bigger and better for kids in that area. So what we're gonna, I'm gonna review some very few statistics with you in a minute, but I wanted you to see some of the things that our governing board has approved for us to do with the extra dollars that we have received in the last 18 to 20 months. For extra funding for our children of poverty, second language learners, foster youth, and you know what? Just all kids, just all of our kids deserve the right kind of education. So you heard Chief allude to, first of all, the PBIS at all sites. I'm gonna come back to that in just a minute. We use our extra dollars to expand our after-school programs for kids in conjunction with both city team members as well as community youth ministry team members. We have lots of services that find their way through my department, student services. We've improved our screenings by purchasing vision spot screeners so that now when you and I were going to school, we all stood there in the nurse's office and we read the chart and we pointed which way the E was going, and we learned, our teachers could learn if we could see the blackboard or not. They didn't know if we could see what was right in front of us, right? So vision testing in schools has always tested far vision. Our nurses asked, and actually now about 18 months after we jumped on board, the legislature has changed as well. It now requires that, you test for close vision where children are trying to learn to read. So we actually have, our board has approved the purchase of those vision spot screeners. They cost about $8,000 a piece, so they're not cheap. So we have improved our screenings there, and the great thing is that we can now print out nice documents to send to our there you went. You moved.
They are one.
Not a plant at all. I saw you come in, thank you. So that we can send real, honest-to-goodness information to the optometrist with the child, not just, we think you can't see the board. So that's been great. We have an excellent teen parent support program. We've hugely expanded our health services, as you know, with our health center. Our social workers, that was a huge request from our parents. We were required to hold meetings annually to see what our parents want us to spend our dollars on, and that came out over and over again. We have gone from, well, when I started on board in 2007, one social worker, Monica Strombi, a lot of you know her, to now we have, I believe, 10.
11.
Wow. 11. So that's been huge in addressing our social emotional needs. Every school site that we have received has some social worker time and input, and that's helped tremendously. So, I mean, before we go on, again, I know, Chief, you're ready to push the button. Hang on.
I'm okay.
Since Chief did such a good job sharing data with you, I'm going to just kind of race through the data when we get to that part. But always, my team that works with me every day knows that I am the linear sequential person in the group. I have to know how I got to where I am so I know where I'm going next. So just let me paint the picture for you that all of this with PBIS, positive interventions and supports, which I'll talk a little bit more about, and restorative justice, came after an era when I moved into public schools and public education in the 90s. We all were kind of still hearing, and I'm sorry if my chronology is a little bit off from those of you that are gonna. But as I was beginning my teaching career in public schools and kind of early admin, we were in the era of sort of the three strikes world out in the real world, right? And it made perfect sense that at some point in time, a community would decide, look, there's a limited number of chances we're going to give people before we say you need a consequence. And that's my layman's version of three strikes. I apologize. But that's my version of it. And the reason that's important to me and my keeping focus on what we're doing is that began to sort of translate into our schools as zero tolerance. And maybe you became familiar with that term somewhere along the way, either as your children were in school or just as you read about what was going on in schools, which again makes perfect sense on paper. Zero tolerance was intended, came on the heels of the three strikes stuff, okay? So in schools, zero tolerance was aimed at, you know what, we're gonna come down hard. There's going to be no chances if you are in a cause serious injury to someone, if you have weapons on campus, if you have their sale of drugs, sexual assault, not just at Kings Canyon Unified. Okay, this is California Education Code. But
it all was weaving together to say, look, we want to do the right things for kids. So the way that translated into my world as a learning director in the early 2000s and other people that I work with was that we became really, really consistent in issuing consequences to children. Because we wanted to be sure, we knew, we had learned that if we would just be consistent with kids, they would learn where the boundaries were and behavior would change. And that worked sometimes. But unfortunately, as I came to this office and I watched my expulsion drawers grow from the one drawer in 2007 to five drawers of expulsions, file drawers, by 2010, it didn't have to take a really in-depth data study to see that something needed to change. And at the same time, the administrators around me were saying the same thing. We had ACLU, the Office of Civil Rights, the Department of Justice, clamoring across the United States, educators, are you not paying attention to your own data? What about the school-to-prison pipeline? We're building prisons based on the number of kids that are getting in trouble and can't read in third grade. So hopefully that all sort of resonates and you've heard pieces of that along the way. But all of that brought us, as a school district, to 2007 to 2009 or 10, where we just said we have to do something differently. Number one, the law is going to demand it. And number two, we all love kids. Let's do something better. Let's keep them in school. So we came up with or invested ourselves at the wisdom of our superintendent, who's always got great feelers out there, and conversations with the board. We did embark on the PBIS journey, and I know we keep saying those initials. Positive Behavioral Interventions and Supports, program largely out of the University of Oregon. And across the nation, again, ACLU, Department of Justice, Office of Civil Rights said, look, here's a research-based program. You don't have to invent it. Try this. Fresno County Office of Education invested hugely in it and said to the superintendents, look, we're ready to put up or shut up. Give us your people. We'll train them free of charge. We'll give you money for substitutes. We'll give you money for all the incidentals that you need. Let's just start. So we did in 2010 with Reedley High School. This is an interesting combination of people who decided to be the first cohort. Reedley High School, the school where I had the most expulsions, Citrus Middle School, the school where I had the most suspensions, and Silas Barch, the brand new school that was trying to, more or less, trying to establish a culture of what they were going to be. So they ended up being the absolutely best people out of the gates to do that. And they led the way. Other schools joined every year, only three or four every year, so that over the course of about 5 or 6 years, we will have all of our schools having participated in the three-year training. Okay, Chief, now I'm ready for you to push the button.
I would like to just interject and add two comments. The list of staff there that you saw, if you can go back to that slide. This year, we're not going to let that slide go. This year, we added three transition directors and three liaisons full-time, and their full-time job is to help students transition between schools. Mm-hmm. Students seem to have a very difficult time going from 8th grade to 9th grade, or between schools, from whether it be opportunity program, continuation, independent study, between high schools. They're concentrating on those students that may have had success at middle school, and then when they enter high school, they're grades drop, and that's very, very common. One of those directors also is focusing on the transition between Orange Cove High School, Reedley High School, to the colleges, because sometimes they are students, they are from our community, and they're our product, actually, and so we want to make sure that if their intent was to go to Reedley College, Fresno State, or wherever, that if something happens during the summer or during the course of the year, that blocks that path for them, that we're there to support them. So we've added another six people to help our students.
Okay, try again. So while Chief was showing you the specific numbers for Reedley High School, this reflects the whole district. So by 2012, we were well underway with PBIS, and restorative justice had come alongside us as well. You can see that our out-of-school suspensions, so not an in-school suspension where you have to sit in the principal's office for a while, you know, a real true out-of-school suspension. You can see them stepping down there each year to the point of where last year we were
probably about 40% reduction from, you know, 2 years prior. So that's district-wide. Manually, that does include Orange Cove and Floyd, the Dunlap area. So that is all of us. Go ahead, Chief. And so for our expulsions, you can see 2007 is where I started just keeping data because I came to the office at that point. It's where I told you I had one file drawer full that continued to grow. You can see the worst number up there, the most embarrassing one, is the 154. Boy, were we being consistent those years. We made sure if kids did something, then a certain automatic consequence followed. You can see by 2010 where we start PBIS, look at the drop from the 142 the previous year down to 110. I was pretty pleased. The first year, we only, remember, we only implemented at Citrus, Reedley High, and Silas Barge that first year. We had a good decrease. So I was excited that subsequent year, four more schools rolled into PBIS. And okay, we stayed about the same. But look what happened when restorative justice came alongside the PBIS program that first year. It was, oh, hallelujah, we found the next step. PBIS sets the stage for a lot of positive reinforcement at school sites. That also doesn't mean that we aren't disciplining kids. It means that we are teaching the positive behaviors we want to see. And when we have to issue consequences to kids wherever possible, we try to issue a consequence that teaches a lesson. That is not always possible. We don't attempt to teach lessons that involve gang issues. Just gonna be honest, okay? That's a whole nother arena. But other issues, absolutely. Absolutely, we can teach lessons. So you can see there that as restorative justice grew in the subsequent years, so it started at Reedley High, we were most deeply planted there for the first couple of years, and then it automatically rolled out to a few other sites because incidents would happen. And we would contact John Swenning and Chief and say, hey, I know they're not in hospital yet, but this would be a really good case. It fits all the markers. And so, of course, you know, they would concede. So we're very, very pleased. Actually, I got to tell you, I think I have the numbers right. Of those 33 recommendations last year, we ended up with only 11 expulsions, I believe, at Reedley High and only 3 at Orange Cove High School. So that's a dramatic drop. And that doesn't mean that kids suddenly now are perfect. They aren't. But what also happened in the last couple years with the law is the California Education Code has been restructured so that it actually mandates that we use discretion in how we discipline children. So remember back in the early 2000s, I told you kind of coming out, rolling out of zero tolerance, or three strikes and zero tolerance, we were very consistent. If you did this, this happened, and it was in everybody's handbooks. The law actually now mandates, and we were already there with restorative justice, that you got to offer alternative consequences before you kick kids out of school. And it actually calls out things like, in the education code, community service, restorative justice, positive behavioral interventions and supports, and several of the other things that we were already proud to say that were going on in Kings Canyon Unified, and largely because of our partnership with our buddies in Reedley PD. I just want you to see the last picture because it's really cool. It's just really nice when we can show people. Same numbers are reflected here, but isn't this what we want to see? Isn't this? This is all about what we should be doing to keep kids in school. And then I would just finish by telling you, you know, people have asked me, and I've heard them ask Chief, so you've done a good job with restorative justice for the youth. Is it time that we start thinking about that for adults? And I just look at Chief and go, oh, God bless you answering that one. The great thing about my job is I have the luxury of not having to have an opinion about that. All I have to care about in my job is restorative justice the right thing for kids? Who in the community wouldn't argue that it is absolutely the roles of police force, schools, and churches, and faith-based agencies, if you will, to help kids learn from their mistakes so that they are productive citizens at some point. That is absolutely our role. And nobody would ever argue with that. So.
Well, not only that, but your attendance, not attendance, but the number of students has increased when that was going down, right?
That's true. Yes. Yes.
Enrollment. It makes it look that much better.
And the number of schools involved is also going up. Mm-hmm.
So I would say, and just to give you a framework, even though I said that was going to be the last thing I say,
So discipline is a huge part of what I do. Kids who are recommended for expulsion still find their way to my office. We do not, just so you can clear it up for your friends and neighbors, we do not spend less time disciplining children now. We spend more time disciplining children now because we have lengthy conversations about what does this incident require by law? What does this child need? And is there a chance that there's a teachable moment in here along with the consequence? That takes a lot of conversation. But I'm thrilled that the administrators that I deal with, which is mostly the learning directors, because principals are not necessarily our direct line for discipline, they call me on a regular basis and talk before I even say what happened. This is what happened, but I don't think we need to put this kid out. Here's what I think we can do this time. Just give me one more chance with them. It's great.
Are we checking to see how many repeat offenders we have after we go through this program? And
yes.
What is this? Could you give us some idea?
Yeah, I don't have specific data for you, so I wouldn't try to quote that for you. I know that Reedley PD and John Swanning in particular are really keeping close recidivism rates and a watch on that with restorative justice. PBIS is not a consequence. It's kind of what you do on the front end to keep things positive. But, as this board knows, our school board knows, and again, I'd like the community to know, at the same time that our board became very supportive of PBIS and restorative justice, I want you to know that our board also made the decision that when we have serious repeat offenders, we are not only going to remove them via the expulsion process, we are going to place them at the community day school in Fresno. So we're not going to put them on home studies. We do sell some kids on home studies. First-time offenders sometimes will go there. But this board agreed to provide the transportation to take kids from outlying communities as far away as Dunlap, picking up in Orange Cove, picking up in Reedley, and transport students to the community day school in Fresno, which is across the street from San Joaquin Memorial High School. So, you know, people sometimes want to throw stones at the positive behavior that we're really reinforcing, not realizing that the real work the board is doing behind the scenes, saying, okay, yes, absolutely, give the kid the benefit of the doubt. And then when you have a repeat offender who goes out two or three times, and I don't have many, but I had one this week, then it's time for them to go try a different system. And I tell the kids when they come in, look, here's your regular high school. Sometimes you can try out our continuation school for a while, although we don't really send discipline problems there, I gotta say. But okay, sometimes. Then you can try out the community day school in Fresno. Then you can go to the probation school in Fresno. And then you're gonna go to the juvenile justice campus and juvenile law. So that progression hasn't changed. But thankfully, there's a whole lot right going on so that kids don't get there.
Any other questions from Team Candidate Board? Seeing none, Council? Mary?
Thank you.
Got a question, Marianne.
I don't have a question. I just have a comment. Marianne, I want to say thank you, and I want to say thank you to Juan Garza and our chief of police and our city manager for supporting this program. I think it's such a neat thing that we can help our kids succeed and help them learn, there is a consequence when you screw up, but that doesn't mean you have to be put away forever, because we all screw up in one way or another, maybe just not bad enough to go to prison or whatever, but and we have to make amends, and we're teaching and we're training not only the kids but their parents. This is the way you need to respond and work with your kids. And I get the chills, because if we can change one or two families and save them from, how much does it cost to go to juvenile hall for a year? $100,000? Maybe on the cheap end. Okay? Look at all the money we're saving our society, and we're saving the people, our kids. And I just want to say thank you. I really appreciate that.
Ms. Caruso, thank you for your presentation.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Marianne.
Is there any public comment on this? Seeing none, going to item number four, district office, Assistant Superintendent Dr. John Kinkle.
Well, good evening again. Before I start, I want to share a couple of things with you. When I first came on some 3 years ago, Superintendent shared something with me that resonated with me, and what he told me was, what's good for our students is good for our community. And I've kept that. That's awesome. And then when we were looking at CBT and this joint project, I happened to be sitting in the city manager's office, and I heard from Bird that, you know, this will better serve our community. And so to listen to those two, that I've stayed with that, because with the CBT, it was really a joint project about saving the taxpayer money. Why would the taxpayer pay for two fueling stations when we could actually join those together and better serve the community, much like what the city manager has said. And it's good for our students as well. Because it gets the buses off Reedy High School, allows us to do some other things. So I think it's that common theme of community that I stand before you, because it was also the conversation when Superintendent Garza took me for a ride and says, what do you think about centralizing governmental services? Okay, and so he takes me for a ride. I'm not sure where he's going with this, because very seldom does he take me for a ride, so I'm not sure what's going on. But he shows me the spot. What do you think of the possibilities of a district office? So again, I reach out to my colleague and city manager, and I get that same comment. So it is a vision, and it's an honor to support it. And so with that being said, to your left is our district office. The top page, you'll be looking, that's coming from 10th Street. You'll be looking at the boardroom. As you continue on the kind of the, because it's at northwest, on the other side. Here, as you travel on northwest, the second is a two-story building, which ends up, that's where staff will be, so you have a central lobby. It's some 15,000 square feet. It has a story. Mr. Campbell, I think, likes his story. But at one point in time, we had a delivery date of December. Well, the cost came in high. Again, we're trying to be very frugal. The board and the superintendent are very clear about that, being fiscally responsible. So we went back, did some value engineering, worked with the city on some things, where to put sewer, how to tie into things. So I'm glad to report we saved $617,000 with our value engineering. And that doesn't happen with, what happens with sitting down with your colleagues at the city of Reedy. How do we best tie into to things? Where do we put things? Infrastructure, which is a lot of the cost. So again, a thank you to my colleagues that work very closely. And yes, I do give Robertson a bedtime. He's awesome. So with that, you're looking at the two-story on the right-hand side. It is right in front of Rails to Trails, and it's a due date of August 5th now, is when it'll be complete. So, any questions from council for Mr. Kinkle?
I'd like to just make two quick points.
Oh, sure.
Before there's questions, right there on that picture on top, that green truck is mine. The architect put it in there. So you've seen me drive around in my green truck. Second, as we were going through the process of acquiring the property and demolishing the Granger building, we did make some statements. I did publicly, and I also shared them with the board regarding some facet of it. So Sheila Weeby is our district administrator in charge of a historical, I didn't say it wrong, historical committee. There are some folks that have been asked to serve on this committee representing different areas, not different schools. Someone from the mountain community areas, someone from Orange Cove, someone from our country schools, and some from Reedy. And the goal of the committee is to provide some type of historical significance, remembrance of the school district. And so I'm very excited to say that committee's met and they've already gone in a positive direction. We also said publicly that we would provide some type of historical recognition to the Granger building, which would be separate from that, from what I just mentioned. So we will be doing both as we continue with the development of the project.
Great. Council, any council questions?
I just have a question. Along the, if you look at the top building there, along the right side there, is that going to still be like a drive-through area like it is now?
Yes, that came as a suggestion from Fire Chief Hyder. Actually, that's his fire lane. So we have a fire lane in front of the building that allows egress and regress of first responders.
Okay. Great.
Any other council questions? Turn to the school board. Any questions? Seeing none, is there any public comment on this item? Thank you, Mr. Kingill. Going into number five, County Library. I'll turn it over to City Manager Nicole Gill.
So I want to talk to you about another great partnership that has really blossomed over the past couple of months. We're just talking about the great partnerships between the school and the city. And what we're finding is that same great partnership is now blossoming between the city and the county library system. And our superintendent has been involved in this as well. So when I first started as your city manager roughly 4.5 years ago, it was only about 2 weeks' time before an entire committee was jamming themselves into my office demanding a new library. And I obviously caught my attention and knew we had an issue. And in fact, what we have in Reedley is a library, a community library, county library, that's 5,000 square feet. For the size of population that we have, and for the size of circulation that we have, and yes, people still check out books in this day and age, we should have a library that is roughly 15,000 to 20,000 square feet. So we currently have a community library that is one-third the size that it should be for our circulation and population. The county librarian, her name is Laurel Prigny, she is acutely aware of this problem in Reedley. And we are not the only city that has this problem. The other city that has that disparity of population and circulation versus size of library is Clovis. They should have a library that's roughly 30,000 square foot given their population and circulation. They currently have a library that's 12,000 square feet. So acutely aware she is of our situation and Clovis's situation. Unfortunately, after a year or two of driving around this community with the county librarian every 3 or 4 months, we were not successful in finding a location. They currently lease their location, and the county board has given her clear direction that they want to own a parcel of land. They don't want to lease. So we were really feeling downhearted about this, not knowing where we could go to get a new library. And on a lark one day when she picked me up from lunch, she said, "What are you doing with that old, ugly shed behind City Hall? That's the Royal Valley building that many of you may know." And I said, "I'll tell you what, Laurel, if you tell me you'll build a library, I'll ask my mayor and council if they'll give you that land." We thought it was a joke, but as you know, jokes sometimes blossom into something else. And in fact, the county board recently did approve a resolution stating that if the city were to grant that parcel of land, they will build a new library for this community on that parcel. So our mayor and council have vision. It's not easy giving up a parcel of land, as you all know. It's not easy to give away an asset like that. Despite the fact that the asset doesn't look very good, it still has value. But in fact, this council did approve a resolution stating that we were willing to grant that piece to the county library. Parallel tracking is Clovis, and so what you will hear in the Fresno Bee or around the community is that Clovis is going to get a library before Reedley is. That's not true. We're actually moving along parallel. Yeah, I know. I almost felt the kick. We're actually moving on parallel tracks, and Clovis is doing it almost the same way we're doing it. They're granting a parcel of land so that the library can build. So we are looking at having that old Royal Valley packing shed demolished, and it will become a new library. What that means, you heard Dr. Q talk about this, really centralizing government services, having a true municipal city center where we have a school district headquarters, we have a city hall, we have a police department, we have a courthouse that hopefully will once again house court services someday. We have county ag services in that building right now, and then we would have a library strategically placed along the rail trailway where kids can walk from Reedley High School to the library, kids can walk to Reedley College, just a wonderful location for a library. So as it stands right now, we're in negotiations. There are some finer points when you donate a piece of land. We have, for instance, all of the solar that feeds City Hall and the police department is on top of that building that will be demolished. So we have to figure out how to move it and where to put it. So there are some finer points. But we're very excited about this. It's very important for this community to know that its Measure B sales tax dollars will be going to fund most of this new library. The library is estimated to be $6 million. Measure B will cover $4 million of that. So we really need our community to step up because we will have to fundraise $2 million to get this building built. The library is going to start undertaking a very intense public process to find out what needs to be in this library. Most of us have a kind of an old-fashioned view of libraries as just book stacks, but in fact, there are now maker spaces, there are cooking rooms, there are theater rooms, there are all types of things that can go into libraries. And so you will soon see the librarian step forward to the school board, to other community organizations, to really get input about what we want our library to look like. Ultimately, we will have a 15 to 20,000 square foot library on that site, on that parcel, that will be quintessential Reedley. It won't be a cookie cutter library for the county system. It will be what Reedley wants it to be. So it's very exciting. We will have to figure out how to raise $2 million, but I guarantee you we'll get there. We'll get there. So I'm open for any questions you may have. Right now I mentioned we're in negotiations on the finer points. We hope to have that building demolished. If everything goes well, I would hope in 2016 the building will be down and we'll be looking at planning the new library 2017, 2018 with final construction of 2020.
So. Kings Canyon Board, any questions of the city manager?
So what happens to the old library? Is this a land trade?
No, the old library is a leased piece of property, and so the landowner will simply lease it out to
somebody else,
some other use.
Any other questions from the County Board? Seeing none, Council? Any questions, Council? Seeing none? Any comment from the public? Seeing none, thank you very much. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Going to item number 6, city use of Reedley High School Aquatic Center. And this goes to the Community Center Superintendent, Sarah Reed.
Board members, Mayor, City Council. It is my pleasure to speak a little bit about the city use at the beautiful facility that we have the pleasure of entering in. I brought some pictures because my words, if we can get it up, Chief snuck out after he got me set up, so we're going to try to get it up. It is perfect. Well, I did want to focus on the different components that we have going on in the facility, but again, my words don't give it justice. You truly need to see the pictures of all these people enjoying themselves. So January 21st was a day in history. That's the first day that we entered in the facility to do lap swim. Ever since then, the momentum has kept up. We have a steady stream of people coming into the community center to purchase cards and also participating in the lap swim. We're in the facility 3 nights a week. We're there Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and it truly does get used, and people are just really enjoying themselves when they're there. The next activity we have going on is our water aerobics. Water aerobics, we saw a big peak in the summer. We had about 26 to 30 ladies and gentlemen. I shouldn't ignore the couple men that we had in there, but they were really enjoying themselves. We offer a class in the morning, which we have about 10 steady women that really enjoy it, and then our evening class, which is finishing up tomorrow and won't resume until April. So we do have people enjoying that. Water aerobics in the morning will stop for December and January, but then pick up again come February 1st. Summer is when we were in their full swing, so I want to focus a little bit on that. I hired 12 lifeguards to manage our pool this summer, and they did an amazing job. You probably recognize many of them. I think only one was an Emmanuel attendee. Everyone else was from Reedley High, either graduated or still in your program. So we had recreation swim. That was just one component that allowed the public to come in. Our numbers were a little low at first, but as the summer went on, I think people realized that, oh my goodness, we have the opportunity to get in this facility, and it started to increase. So I'm always already working on ways to kind of get that word out there to the public that they have the opportunity to come in. Our swim lessons, which is on our next slide, was probably our biggest and well-received program. Our private lessons sold out before the summer even started and just stayed firm throughout the whole summer. Group lessons was the other opportunity that parents had, and that was busy as well. We offered 3 2-week sessions for the public to take advantage of that. At the end of the summer, we decided to try a movie night. I don't know if you heard of that, but we got a huge response. Over 200 people came out. They were more interested in getting in the pool truly than when they were in the movie, because we did have some technical difficulties. They didn't realize that a 2-hour movie had turned into 30 minutes, and so I got on the microphone and apologized, and we started Monsters, Inc., and everything was good again. So we just got a lot of positive reviews from that, which told me that next year we would like to propose doing some evening public swims. Even if we don't have a movie going, I think parents just appreciated the opportunity to get into the facility for a very reasonable cost. I do have to give some thank yous since I have the microphone. Your maintenance staff is amazing at Kings Canyon. They work with us. They make it happen. So I know that we bring in all these funny things and intrude on their facility and, you know, make a mess, which we try to clean up after ourselves, but they're opening the gates for us, they're closing the gates, they're helping my lifeguards with pulling the tarps over those pool, which is quite an undertaking to do, but together we all make it work. Your staff at the high school has been very generous with getting us into the facility, just really responsive, and so I truly appreciate it. It is a partnership to make this happen. So I'm very grateful that we have the opportunity to get in there. So if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. But I do appreciate just the time to be able to highlight how great these programs have been working out so far.
Thank you, Sarah. School board, any questions? Council members, any questions? Any questions from the public or comments? Thank you, Sarah.
Perfect. Thank you, Sarah.
Well, That's it for those, but number 7 is optional statement by the board or council members on any issues of joint concerns. Do we have any? See, then, well, I'd like to thank whoever was in charge of dinner tonight. I guess it's different. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, it's great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I can just go back a couple of things. Kinko just mentioned about joint venture between the city and school district. You know, look at transportation yard, district office, county library, the aquatics program. But we can't forget about Brent's agency. That was an agreement between the city and the school district. So they let the city have the Brent's yard for your project, which is great. That's a great addition to the city. So that's all I have. If anybody else has any other questions or whatever. So at this time, I'd like to adjourn the joint meeting and thank everybody, especially the presenters tonight. Superintendent Garza, thank you. And your staff, City Manager, thank you very much. Council. And so the Kings Canyon Governing Board will continue their regular meeting in the Redwood Room, and the council. We'll stay here and see you. Thank you very much.